But tonight, I'm very excited about this study. It's the study the Lord gave us tonight, and it's the best one. So this is that second part of just a little journey about baptism in the Word of God. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as you're turning there, tonight we're going to rejoice in the double portion blessing that was given to us at Pentecost. There was a double portion that was given that day. The benefits of the twofold provision that was given. And we will begin reading about that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And it says there, For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So think of that. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made or given to drink into one Spirit. Now, what this is referring to is this marvelous grace-filled day of Pentecost and this double portion blessing that was given that day for us. Now, most of us rejoice, praise the Lord, in that day of Pentecost, that's the day the Holy Ghost was sent by Jesus Christ. Sent to earth, specifically noted, that fire that came down and hit those 120 that were up there in the upper room and filled them with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues. That's where that began. And thank the Lord, it hasn't ceased. And we're enjoying that fellowship and encouragement. But what so often is missed or overlooked, and I really have to say this, I believe most here of what we're going to speak on tonight, you know the difference, but to know it more perfectly in Scripture, to be able to rightfully divide it and to see it, because in this certain part of text, sometimes if we don't know the Word of God and understand the Scriptures that substantiate this, we can get a little confused, and especially get confused with someone that might be twisting things about the Holy Ghost. So this is something I think will be really, really sweet to our hearts tonight as the Lord brings this out. But this is something that needs to be understood about the baptism of the Spirit. Because tonight, by God's grace, we're going to rightfully divide and see that the baptism of the Spirit and to be filled with the Holy Ghost are two different things. Did you hear me? The baptism of the Spirit and to be filled with the Holy Ghost are two different things. At Pentecost, as it states here in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, what we just read, two things were given that day or done that day. The baptism in the Spirit, and then secondly, in the last part of that verse, and given to drink of the Spirit, or given the opportunity to drink of the Spirit. That provision was made that day, all right? And we'll get to that in just a moment. We're first going to study the first part of this, which is the baptism of the Spirit. Now, this is the one Spirit we all believers were baptized into. All who are saved are all in one body. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And this is so mighty about this baptism of the Spirit. It baptized us into that one body, the body of Christ, and He is the head. And we thank the Lord for this. But turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 through 6, and we'll begin to investigate and rejoice in this one baptism. And it says in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and God, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Isn't that interesting, too? I read that verse, and you think about churches that try to seize that as a denomination to say, well, that's us. It's so silly, isn't it? It's sad that this is, again, like Brother Hill used to talk about that minister that was in that church, and he kind of had a small church. They were believers. And there was a big church across the way that had believers as well, but just a big church. And the big church pastor was so proud that his church was a big church. And he went over and he says, well, how many people do you have in your church? He says, well, I don't know. I got to count them up in your church too. I like that, you know. And that's why I like to ask people when you meet them. You know, I don't want to hear about any religion. I don't want to hear about what you believe. All I want to hear is one thing. Is Christ Jesus your personal Savior? Is he your personal Savior? Have you accepted Christ Jesus as your personal Savior? Don't have to use any of the terms or anything like born again. You know, people have run with that and so sadly ruined that word in a lot of ways. But it's not ruined. It's still, it's what it is. They try. But that's why I say, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And that's it. And then we can go from there. You know, we either need him or we can rejoice that you have him and we can rejoice further in the gospel, can't we? Praise God. So that's as simple as it is. But see, this one body, one spirit, one baptism, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one God and Father of all, this is so wonderful. This is the whole church being baptized once and for all at the same time. This is as the Lord seeing you and seeing me in Christ. Remember, as he said, that oneness that he saw us in ages past? See, that's Ephesians 1:4. So this is kind of a similar thing of Christ seeing us in him. It says in Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him. See, you were chosen in him. Amen? You know, we like to think, oh, well, you know, he just adored my profile back in. No, it wasn't that at all. He chose me in his son, the only one, the only thing that's acceptable to him. He chose me and he chose you in his son before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And I am so thankful in love. Isn't that wonderful how many in loves you have in the Word of God? See, that's what did it, because he's in love. And just get it, and it'll really expand in our lives, won't it? Praise God. But that's this type again. He saw us all in him. And just like in this baptism, we were all baptized in the Spirit, all believers, that day. This is John the Baptist's announcement. If you go over to Luke 3:16. Be moving around just a little bit, but you should write these down, and this will be a nice little order or assortment of verses. There's more, but these really are very prominent to bring forth this baptism of the Spirit and to really understand what it is. In Luke 3:16, John answered, saying unto them, and this is John the Baptist, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latches of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. See, that Jesus would baptize in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus said in Acts 1:5, ye shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So that was right before Pentecost. He said, you're going to be baptized in the Spirit. Now remember, we've just been reading that. What is that baptism in the Spirit? We were baptized into the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. This baptism, let's go back into Leviticus now, because this will tell you why this occurred and why this had to take place. And Leviticus, if you have a Scofield Bible, this is a wonderful little note as it starts into this section. But in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, and we're going to read from verse 17, but there's a little footnote, or a little header, I should say, in Leviticus, in a Scofield Bible, it says, the Feasts of Jehovah, the Wave Loaves, the Church at Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. So praise the Lord. He's even bringing this forth that this is the type of what happened at the day of Pentecost. This is what happened at the day of Pentecost as we were all baptized, Jew and Greek. Remember it said that? Jew and Gentile, we're all baptized into one Spirit. That's the baptism of the Spirit, into one body. And here was the reason why. It says, you might want to shut some phones off. That Amber Alert keeps going off. There we go. And we know the Lord will trust him for those things. In verse 17 of chapter 23, ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. So see, these 2 loaves, brothers and sisters, they represent the Jew and the Gentile. believers. Both of these believers were out there on the table. You had the Jewish and the Gentiles. But on the day of Pentecost, when we believers were baptized into one spirit, we became one loaf. And that one loaf is told to us. Let's flip on back to Corinthians in chapter 10. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Now see, that's something that I'm very tender about. I'm so thankful that we have today this wonderful finished work of the cross, the blood of Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, when you accept Christ as Savior, you're born of God. You're a child of the King. You're now a son of God. And we don't have different sorts of believers. We're one. And I know sometimes we like to kind of hunker down in our heritage and sometimes even in our gender. But remember how it says there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. I mean, he was hitting all of it, wasn't he? Because he knows how we like to divide ourselves and thinking somehow we can seek better with Jesus if we get around, you know, birds of a feather. In a sense of what we feel like we should. You need to be around people of like precious faith. It doesn't matter what color, what sex, what any it is. You need people of like precious faith. And that's our fellowship. And that's why we have this fellowship tonight. Praise be to God. But this was it. This was when that baptism of the Spirit came. It baptized all of us at that moment into that Spirit. Thanks be to God. The type of the one baptism was also, if you go just across the page here to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, this was the type that was seen in Moses that was bringing this, what would happen here at Pentecost. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." See, that was that, again, looking forward as to what would happen. Moses, again, being that type of Christ, we would be baptized into that wonderful Spirit, into the oneness of the body of Christ. Moses, again, that foreshadow and type of Jesus Christ. So now we see here that this is all believers in Jesus, Jew and Gentile, for all the church age to be, the baptism in the Spirit, we were made one body. And I love how Brother Copley explains this. He uses Romans 4:17, calling those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4:17, calling those things which be not as though they were. So we were baptized, all believers in the church age were baptized in the Spirit at the day of Pentecost. So everybody who will ever believe in the Lord, like this young lady who gave her heart to the Lord today, sister, she was baptized in the Spirit at the day of Pentecost. She was entered into that at that day, even though she accepted the Lord at this time today. And again, the promise and the provision that was made, that baptism happened at that time. It's just like Jesus Christ, as they say, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. See, God saw that as already done. It was already finished. And he saw that, just like Jesus talking to his disciples as he was standing there right before him. He says, "I'm no longer in the world." And they're thinking, "Oh, wait a second, you're here." He says, "No, I'm seeing this is already done." Amen? See, that's the encouragement we have to have in our faith by the grace of God. It's the substance. It's the evidence. It's the Word of God. Amen? And the Word of God says these things, and we wait and are patient, but we believe by the grace of God it is finished. It is done. And just like he tells us about every trial that we're in, the way of escape has already been made. God doesn't have to go figure this out. God doesn't have to plan how this is going to work out. The way of escape has already been made. It does. It just gives chills all over my body. And that is, as I have another interpretation of it. My husband's taking care of it. He's already got it. He's taking care of it. He's got that. He just wants me to abide in the home and enjoy our house. And that is the household of faith. Praise be to God. And that is simple. Because that truly gets us right back to the faith as a child, isn't it? Amen? That you believe what your father tells you. You believe him wholly, fully, immediately. Dad said it, it's done. Praise be to God. So we thank the Lord for this. But this is what is so precious here. This is what is so wonderful. This is why we never read anymore from this point in Scripture of being baptized in the Spirit after Pentecost. You'll never read those words. You'll never hear that statement again, baptized in the Spirit. You'll only hear that right at Pentecost, and then you will not hear about it anymore, because anyone who believes in Jesus is entered into that baptism completed the day of Pentecost. And that's it. That's as simple as the baptism of the Spirit is. It is that wonderful time that we were all baptized, all believers, into the one body of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on to the second part of this verse, going back to 1 Corinthians 12:13. We'll read it again. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That's the baptism of the Spirit. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, those were the two loaves that were made one. Amen? That's it. So now we're that one body. Whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, this is the next part. And that word made to drink, it should be better said given to drink. Besides all believers being baptized into one Spirit at Pentecost, all believers from that day forward were also given the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is the second vision that is given that day of Pentecost. Along with baptism in the Spirit and all God's children, everyone saved, everyone that is baptized in the Spirit now has been given the full opportunity to drink of the Spirit. See, he's no respecter of person. Just like he said, I would have all men be saved. And once you're saved, all men be saved. And know that intimacy, all the truth, to have that intimacy of the Word of God, to know that Word, to have it in its absolute fullness. That's what we're so thankful to God in what He does. But that is it here. You are baptized now and have been given the privilege to drink in the Spirit. This is the encouragement of Ephesians 5:18. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 5, and the 18th verse, it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So again, he's speaking to those precious saints at Ephesus. These are runners of the truth and thanking God, but he wants them in that fullness of the Spirit. See, this given to drink or drinking of the Spirit is not an automatic thing. As it was when we accepted Christ, that moment, boom, we were baptized in the Spirit. This given to drink is a choice to yield. This is a choice to yield, and this is a choice to receive more. And how much more will you receive? And I think it's exciting how marvelous and perfect the truth is, because when you look at 1 Corinthians 12:13, that word given in the Greek, it is potizo, which means to give to drink. That means given the privilege to drink. But just because all God's children have been given the privilege to drink, the privilege to be filled, the privilege to be full of the Holy Ghost, does not mean they do. And that's all of us, and you know that. But for the grace of God with me. And it is sad, because most of God's children never even begin to drink of that cup. They don't want to ever become filled with the Holy Ghost. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And then, but those that get filled, most don't keep on drinking. David said, what can I render unto the Lord? And the Lord said, take of my cup of salvation and drink and drink and drink and continually drink. And that's exactly what this is. And you think of our cup. And you think of our opportunity. And always remember this. We have some time tonight. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, think about the salvation that you have. The salvation that you have been offered. And in 2 Timothy 2:10, it says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." And we know that the elect's sake, that's the family of God. That's the children of God. Those are ones that are saved. Paul said, "I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Isn't that wonderful? And matter of fact, that word "with eternal glory," all of that means salvation with the King's majesty glory, the kingly glory. Amen. That's the ruling and reigning jointly together with him glory. That's why Paul said, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." And that it wasn't a given. It's that they may also obtain. See, they have salvation. You know, every child of God has salvation. Amen. But this is that now I endure this, I preach this, I continue on. I don't grow weary in this well-doing because I want to see, I'm encouraged because of the grace of God that is with me, that all those that are saved would enter into and obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory, with kingly reigning glory. Isn't that awesome? That's wonderful. This is what this given to drink is about. This is what this was all about. This given to drink wasn't just to be filled with the Holy Ghost. This was to be full of the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what this salvation with glorified together with him glory is. This is the cup of the bridal truth glory. If we will drink in the Spirit, if we will only drink what he's freely given us in the Holy Ghost, praise be to God, we'll have this. So simply, we take advantage of drinking. We will receive the Holy Spirit. Drinking is being filled, the anointing, the power, sealed with the Spirit. And out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. All by drinking in the Spirit, which has been already fully and freely given. It's just there. Amen? That's why I'm so thankful that ones that really tarry with people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't need to beg God. You don't need to say, "Well, God, send the Spirit from above," like he's got to send him down. He's already here. He's here. He gave us the Spirit at Pentecost. He's fully here. And enjoy him. That's what's so wonderful. That power, all of those things and the manifold blessings that come with walking in the Spirit. And thank the Lord. And, the things I want to be disciplined in love about is I want to be disciplined in my communion and fellowship with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You know, it. You think about it. I was kind of thinking of this. It'd be like, okay, I live with my lovely wife, and I get up in the morning, and I just walk right by her, don't say a word, get in my car, and go out. Well, I'd miss that fellowship in the morning. You know, I want to have that fellowship in the morning. I want to say, "Good morning, honey," and talk about some different things and enjoy that. And by the grace of God, share a scripture, maybe read our daily light, whatever it might be, and to see how she's feeling, how I'm feeling. And then I'll go usually to my office and go study. But after I've talked to her, then I'll start studying. Usually I'll pray in the morning beforehand. I always pray in the morning beforehand. But I always want to visit with her. How much more so like with our Lord? That discipline of visiting with him. Amen? And entering into that community. I think when we think about it that way, because this isn't just some discipline that I do out of duty. There's a discipline in love and in fellowship and communion and taking that time to just as if you're in love. Can you imagine that? That's how it would be. See, if I just passed through my day and I didn't take time, you know, you think about now we have phones and we text and, "Oh, hi, honey, how you doing?" They have heart emoticons and, you know, smiley faces and all of those different things that you're always communicating. How about with the Lord? And it is wonderful to always meditate upon him, but I'm talking about where you actually physically, you know how they always say, you know, you need to sit down and really have conversation with one another. And, you know, how was your day? You know? I always remember Polly talking to the kids about, "What was the best part about your day?" They hated that because they couldn't say yes. Tried to, but that wasn't going to work. But to engage and to have that time where you, you sat down and had fellowship. See, that's as I refer to with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in my life, that's our fellowship. That's our love. That's our joy. And just think, he's got that multiplied times with every joint of the body if they'll take advantage of it. Amen? So this is exactly that. So see, simply we drink of what the Spirit offers. Simply we drink of what the Spirit offers, we will walk in the Spirit. If we drink of what the Spirit offers, we will be full of the fruit of the Spirit. And yes, you will speak in other tongues, because drinking includes the infilling, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost is the beginning sign of drinking. And tongues are the sign of the infilling, but just because you speak in tongues does not mean you are continuing to drink. Did you follow that? See, the infilling and the evidence of speaking in tongues would be the beginning of drinking. That's what was offered in the second, if you want to say that, second double portion blessing at Pentecost. Amen. That's the scriptures. So at that moment, you begin to drink of that cup, that wonderful encouragement of what God had, again, ordained, that his Son would ascend and his Son would send the Holy Ghost. And that drinking and given to drink, we were given the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to be full of the Holy Ghost. But that is the beginning of it. That's the beginning sign, will be that infilling, and they began to speak with other tongues. But don't ever think that just because you speak in tongues, that means that you're continuing to drink. That's where you get a lot of believers that are wonderfully filled, but they're not full. I know my brethren and many of them that are filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues pretty much every day, but moment by moment, they believe that they can lose their salvation. How could I be full? How could I be in that fellowship, in that love fellowship, believing that his love for me could end? How could I have peace? How could I have rest if it was contingent upon me? I have to be dependent upon him. And I'll tell you what, that causes me to fall in love with him over and over and over and over again. Because he's that faithful. He's that merciful. You see? So I'm thankful that we can come and we can fellowship. And again, we come and we pray and we speak in tongues. And that's a precious thing. And I do. I encourage myself in the Lord. I encourage you in the Lord. I think it should be every day. I think it should be multiple times a day as the Lord hits your life. It's a precious thing. This is an unruly thing, this tongue. This thing can say some really awful things. But I'll tell you what, when it's speaking in the Spirit, it ain't saying anything awful. And you begin to submit lots of things. That's why it's the last thing that's hard. You know, we can come to church physically. We can do all these things. But for especially an adult, and a lot of times especially a male adult, to get down and to really say, I'm going to give this tongue over and I'm going to trust God that he's going to allow the Spirit to fill me and he's going to give me a new tongue. That's something. That really is. But I want you to know that's the evidence of the beginning to drink. But that doesn't mean that you're continuing to drink. This is a manifold blessing thing that takes over, praise God. Continuing to drink of that cup is a walk in his perfect love. It's a walk in that complete love. It's a walk that ye that are spiritual will have the very love of Jesus. You'll have that agape love. And you'll have it, which is the agape love, not just for your own life. It'll be fully for others. You'll want to be an edifying vessel. One that would be spiritually encouraging to another vessel. Now, we're still encapsulated in this flesh. Amen. And there's times that, you know what? We'll be a little unruly. But by the grace of God, now we get back to that humility. That when I do make a mistake, when I did say the wrong thing, when I did know that I stepped out of the will of God and said something, hurt somebody or something of that nature, that God, in his great love, and again, that mercy and grace that he has for my life, would convict my heart to say, I am sorry. That I would say that I am wrong. I have met people that I'm telling you, and I'm talking Christian people, I've never heard them say they're sorry. Not that I want to hear it for themselves, not for me. And I mean that very sincerely. When we cannot tell somebody, you know, I was sorry, I was wrong, my heart hurts for you. Amen? Now, you can flip this too and say, oh, I got to go ask God for forgiveness and forget. You don't have to ask God for forgiveness. He already forgave you. But you sure can tell him you're sorry. There's a big difference there. See, that forgiveness thing, then you're doubting, was it once and for all? Did the blood cover all my sin or not? Whom he has made free is free indeed. I want grace abounding in my life. If it offends people that are ignorant of it, so be it. If it bothers people that just want to be more uptight and try to, oh, well, that'll just set them nuts. People need to get nuts for the grace of God. You need to understand how free you are. And in that liberty, you'll grow in love like you can never imagine how you'll love the Lord. And then, I'll tell you what, you'll begin changing from glory to glory into his very image. Praise him for that mercy. Praise him for that grace. Those things that have been, you think, just tying your life up or a thorn that never could disappear from your life, you'll see things happen. When you praise him for his grace, when you thank him for his mercy, you don't sin willfully that grace may abound. That isn't thanking him for his grace. That's just being a little child. And get ready for a correction. Because it'll come, because he's faithful. So let's grow up and let's have real good fellowship with the Lord. Amen. You know. And you can talk to him. He's a friend, too. Isn't that wonderful? You know, people that are really lovers, they're also best friends. And they are. And they can speak about anything and everything because they love. Because they love. So God help us to see this, brothers and sisters, that it really is, this is about being filled with all the fullness of God. This drinking of the Spirit is being filled with all the fullness of God. It isn't just the experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the beginning, and then you go on. Amen? See, it's very similar to even salvation. Salvation is the beginning, and then you begin to grow. But you only grow so far in salvation, being saved, you need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. As Jesus said, and I don't know why people want to wrestle with this. There were adult men that had been with him for 3.5 years that loved Jesus. They loved him. They appreciated him. They fellowshipped with him. They knew he was the Christ. But yet he said to them after 3.5 years, I have many things to say to you, but you can't understand them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he's been with you, he shall be in you, and you'll now then, once he's in you, filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll be led into all truth. You'll be able to bear those things that I want to tell you because the Spirit will take all the things of mine. He'll minister to you the things that I wanted to tell you. But this is the perfect plan of God because I'm going to go back and I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father. And just like that wonderful story in Genesis 24, he's going to send the servant. He's going to send the Holy Ghost. And he's going to send that Holy Ghost back to my people. And he's going to find that one at the well that's truly in love with me. Isn't it perfect? Isn't it so, I mean, it's just so beautiful. The Word of God is so perfect. There's no flaw. There is no flaw. You rightfully divide this word, there is absolutely no flaw. And it's not you that does it, it's the Spirit that does it. Praise God. So God help us to know and see this separation of ruling and reigning that is offered to all God's children in Scripture. In Ephesians 3, we'll close this up. We'll go back to Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 6. Let's back it up just a little bit. how far? Let's go back to Ephesians 1, huh? But we'll begin reading from Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. as I wrote afore in few words. I mean, I read this just starting, and I almost can't keep it together to think that, Lord, you had me to see this. When I read this immediately, I know what that is. I know what he's talking about. Know how blessed you are. Your heart just skipped a little bit. And said, man, I know that. That's a rare thing. Now listen to this. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. My knowledge, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now this is why I'm going to tell you, Sunday when we read that King James, you know, little sermon there, heard that, this is where King James, oh, I'm thankful, Lord, that you had this parchment from Antioch touch my heart by the grace of God. Now, in that verse 6, that the Gentiles, this is not speaking, this word Gentiles is not referring to a race of people. This word Gentiles refers to saved people. This word Gentiles means God's children. And here's what he's saying is that the Gentiles are all of God's children should be fellow heirs. That means sunkleronimus, joint heirs as husband and wife. Yes. And the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. I'm so thankful to Jesus. See, brothers and sisters, this is it. That they should be drinking of the Spirit continually to know and to love in all truth. We should be yielding to all the Word of God. This is where all the saved ones should be in faith. They should be joint heirs as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. You say, my, how can you get all of that out of that? Well, because I read Romans 8:17 earlier on. And I read Paul's gospel. And the Lord reveals it to you. He that wills to know will know of the gospel. Again, why would it say there in Romans chapter 8, verse 17? Or let's just read from 16. The Spirit, can you imagine? There's the Spirit, right? Itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Just like the Gentiles that it said there in Ephesians 3:6. Amen? We are. We're all the children of God. And if children were heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs. There's your sunkleronimus, the same word that's there in the fellow heirs of Ephesians 3:6. In the Greek, it's the same. And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And that's the thing about drinking from that cup. That's when you are given to drink, you take that opportunity to drink, you know what's going to happen? You're going to suffer. You don't have to try to suffer. You go on with the Word of God, and you'll understand that but for the grace of God, the things that'll come into your life and happen, you would think them strange. You would. But grace. Grace told me, the word of his grace told me. He said, oh, don't think these things strange, honey. This is what the love message does. It proves the love of God in your life. It proves my faithfulness that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It proves that you endure hardness as a good soldier, and in due time I will exalt you. Amen. It proves in you, if you really know it, you might even be nutty enough to say, this isn't even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in me. What do you think? So, by the grace of God, isn't this a wonderful thing? It's all in drinking in and from the Spirit. The spiritual cup of the fullness of God. The spiritual cup to enable and give the more grace to possess the one desire, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The one desire, the one thing I want to hear, the first trump. The one thing that I want to be doing by the grace of God is ruling in the midst of the throne glory with Him. The one thing is to be the wife of the Lamb of God. And I'm so glad by the grace of God that the Lord has put me in a Spirit-full meeting. Not a Spirit-filled meeting, but by the grace of God, a Spirit-full meeting. Amen? It's well. It's well. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.